dedicating the temple, keeping Hanukkah, the second Sukkot, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. This is Belvoir. Belvoir is beautiful view. Psalm 48, a song and a psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Bellevue, Belvoir, means beautiful view, as from a high place, a mountain, a beautiful situation in which you have a beautiful view. Beautiful, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. We're going to examine this a little bit about how to get the view from the high place and what the mountain of the Lord is. What is the mountain of the Lord so that we can get that beautiful elevated view of what's going on in Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up your voice, with the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye, voir to voir, view to view, eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, and he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This scripture from Isaiah 52 absolutely declares the reign, the kingdom of heaven, and the millennial reign, and the watchmen that trumpet that and publish that and bring the good news on the mountains, the high places, the good tidings that our God reigns and he is bringing his salvation of our God to all the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth. As it says in the Psalms, I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, even unto the ends of the earth. And this speaks of the salvation of our God. Now let's get this view. Since Jesus was a Jew and he was speaking to the Roman church here, what are these beautiful feet? How can we ascend to this mountain with the vision, the beautiful view from the mountaintops of what God is doing? Romans 10:12. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. Therefore, whoever calls upon him, God is rich towards them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what is his name? Is his name Hashem the name? No. His name is Yahshua, salvation, Jesus. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So it's believing in your heart and then calling with your mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart will flow that calling on him because you believe. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. All right, here we see. Okay, so here's how it works. According to God, God sends his ambassadors of his kingdom. An apostle is actually someone who represents someone else in a business matter or a, really as an ambassador. That's what an apostle means. And apostle means sent. And how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Okay, so these are the message. We have peace. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. And we have glad tidings that God can turn around anything, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And he's working out salvation. All right. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? All right, so not everybody believes. And what does it say about believing? It says you obey. If you believe, you obey. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Okay, this is Moses speaking to the Hebrews as he brought the nation out of Egypt, out of idolatry. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. All right, Romans 10, 12 through 21. And we'll stop there. It's just calling, you know, this is an identification of how the process works when God sends a preacher and the what he preaches and who believes and they obey and who doesn't obey. But God is good to everyone. Okay? He's rich to all, Jew and Greek, it doesn't matter. Whoever calls on him. And that's the issue. Let's look at Isaiah 42:13 through 25. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long held my peace. I've been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry out like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do to them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. Yes, they shall be greatly ashamed, those who trust in graven images that say to the molten images, you are our God. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you observe not. Opening the ears, but you hear not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers for a spoil, and none says, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore, he has poured upon him the fury of his anger and strength of battle. And he has set him a fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. All right, in this passage, the Lord is talking about this is a judgment that the Lord is jealous and he's going to make waste because of idolatry. And he sends in his servant, and these people don't hear. They say they hear, and they don't, but they don't, you know, listen. They say they see, but they can't understand. And they're robbed and spoiled. And they say, well, you know, who do we sin against? And they don't understand that they haven't walked in God's laws, his ways, and were not obedient to his law. And so the Lord set himself against them in the fury of his anger and the strength of his battle. He's talking here about his people. All right. Let's look now, and this is, we're going to the mountain of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord is this place of worship, all right? And the beautiful view, we get the picture, okay? We're trying to get the picture here. Let's look at John 9 when Jesus was talking. And he was talking to the religious leaders specifically, and this dovetails into this passage that I just read, John 9:30. And the man answered him and said to him, and this is the man that Jesus healed from being blind from birth. And he said to them, to the Pharisees, when they were inquiring and questioning him in the temple, this is about the temple now. We are the temple, okay? We have become the temple of the Lord. And the man said to them, why, here's a marvelous thing that you know not from whence this man is. He's referring to Jesus, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, said unto him, you are altogether born in sin, and you do teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found them, him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees were with him, heard these words, and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. This is a huge issue. This is regarding religious leaders. They think they see, they think they understand because they have the law and they do this and that. They don't see what's going on in their heart. They become blind. This religious spirit has blinded them. And their self-righteousness blinds them. Well, I did the right way. I'm okay. Everybody accepts me. I keep the Sabbath. You know, I do all the right things. I get it. I see. And yet they don't believe on the name, his name, Yeshua's salvation, and trust him to work in their hearts the salvation of God, that abiding. All right, this is about, now look, this was in the temple, this was in the mountain in Jerusalem, okay, at the time of Jesus. Let's look at this issue. This issue of seeing, having a belvoir, a beautiful view, and understanding, perceiving accurately and correctly. This is very important. Our eternity rests on understanding this. Nahum 1:9. Why do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded down together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, They shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one that comes out of you that imagines evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. And thus says the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many. All right, who are these? These are people who speak against the God of the scriptures and his judgments and statutes and his workings. They imagine evil against God and they mock him. This is, you don't want to do that, honey. Thus says the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. All right, so God's going to deal with them, whether you know who they are or not. They're going to be cut down. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. For now will I break his yoke off of thee, you, and will burst your bonds in sunder. And the Lord has given a commandment concerning you that no more of your name be sown. Out of the house of your gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make your grave, for you are vile. All right, these people who afflict and oppress and imagine evil against God, they are idolaters. Okay? Look, here we go, verse 15, name 115. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, O Judah. Keep your solemn feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. This is the good news. You have to confront the fact that this is the issue. Here's the problem. Here's the solution, conflict resolution. All right? The problem is, Judah, you brought this on yourself, and I gave you over to afflictions in order to bring discipline, to bring the rod of correction, to bring you back and to put your idols away. And that is one of the messengers on the mountains that bring good news. Good news is, deal with it. Therefore, this is a call to teshuva, repentance, to turn around and turn back to God. Let's look at Micah 1. But in the last days, all right, that's in the last days before what, the end of the age? It shall come to pass that the mount of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. So these mountains are high places, and the house of the Lord shall be there. Also, in ancient times, pyramids were built as mountains to idols, and worship was conducted in the high places. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And what is the purpose of going up to the mountain of the Lord? To go and see what God's ways are, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations far off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn of war anymore. Ah, this is the good news of peace. But who brings this peace? The Lord. On the mountain of the Lord, when his word goes forth, and we are taught of his ways and walk in his paths. Then, you know, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good tidings and proclaim peace. He is the Prince of Peace. There's only one peace in a man's heart, in his temple, and that he see and perceive and understand this in Zechariah 8:1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus says the Lord, I am returned to Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. When will this happen? When the Lord returns to Zion. Not before then. Well, okay, let's look at John 4:19, in Samaria, the Samaritan woman came to get some water at the well, and Jesus was sitting there. And the woman came, and she was drawing well, and he began this dialogue with her. And in verse 19, the woman says to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, or our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." And Jesus says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour has come when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Because Jesus was the salvation. He was Yeshua. He came, salvation came through the Jewish line. And so they know what they're worshiping. They're on their step of the mountains. But the hour's coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. These are the qualifiers. This is the mountain, the spiritual mountain, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Look, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Get the view? The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah comes, which is called a Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I that speak to you am he." He openly declared who he was, that he was the Messiah and that he was the salvation that came from the Jews. Now, I have several more scriptures that I want to look at about the house of the Lord. Jesus was the temple. And know you not, you are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the one that needs to have this view, eyes that see and perceive and ears that hear and understand. Let's look at Ezekiel 43:9. "Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever." Okay, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. "Thou son of man," he's referring to Ezekiel, "show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all of the ordinances thereof, and all of the forms thereof, and all of the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all of the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof around about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house." All right, you are the house. When God, he will, take out the heart of stone and put it in a heart of flesh, and he will write with the finger of his Holy Spirit his laws and enable us to keep them. And we shall, the top of the mountain, when we are worshiping in spirit and truth, will be holy. And we will keep the law of love in our life. Now let's look at Hebrews 12:18 about Mount Zion. Since we were talking, Jesus talking, this is in spirit and truth, we're going to Mount Zion. We're going to get the spiritual picture here. We're going to have anointed eyes to see in the spirit realm and to abide in eternity. That you are already ruling and reigning. That your flesh doesn't rule and reign, that the Spirit of God is coming through you and ruling and reigning. For you're not coming to the mountain that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if man's as so much, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." But you are coming to Mount Zion and into the city of the living God. Now, what did Jesus say? We're not talking a mountain in Jerusalem or in Samaria or whatever, like this woman said. We're talking to about you're coming into the spiritual realm and truth and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. Listen, hear, look, see. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven? And who is he that speaks from heaven? Jesus, the heavenly man. He came from heaven. He came from heaven. Now let's look in light of this. In Joel 2:28, and shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Ah, they shall have belvoir, beautiful views, visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. Then the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And what's the name of the Lord? Yahshua, salvation, Yeshua. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Let's look at Revelation 21:9. And there came to me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Where was this? In the spirit. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So come up higher into the spirit, get the heavenly vision, put your feet on the mountains, and come and see and worship him in spirit and truth. Know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit.